All right, good morning. I just want to update you a little bit on some injuries. Again, you know, about Zach and Leo are both out. We're going to hold Michael out of today's practice, obviously with the nose fracture and the quad contusion there, and also hold Isaac out today with the pec strain, just to give him extra rest.
What's been going on with Isaac and that pec strain? He practiced last week, right?
Yeah, it's still sore, basically. excuse me. It's it's healing, but the strength is not strength yet. The strength is not back necessarily. So we just want to kind of give him this week and just sort of monitor that, get him all the treatment he can, and get him through the bye, and then we'll see where he's at after that.
And when Lane's suspended by that fourth game, would this set him back in terms of the options of starting him at that left guard spot?
I don't think so, not at all. Again, he's had a lot of reps in there and his preseason reps in there, and it wouldn't set him back. And he's one of those kids, very sharp kid, a studious kid. Wouldn't set him back at all.
How about Ryan Matthews? You mentioned an ankle for him.
He's fine. Just getting treatment on it, but he came out of the game good. He's good to go.
How did Carson come out?
Carson came out good. You know, a little sore today, but they're all sore. You know, we're only 2 days removed from the game, so just normal game wear and tear. Yeah, you know, the biggest thing really, and it's what you see on film, is the aggressive style. I mean, they love to get after the passer. They'll bring those two middle backers. Shazier and Timmons will bring both of those guys. And one thing you notice too is they love to keep their eyes on the quarterback and vision on the quarterback. And so it becomes for any quarterback, you know, where you're looking in the progression of plays. You got to be able to look off and do some different things that way. And then, when teams that play man, I don't want to say it's easy, but man coverage is man coverage. You know what you're going to get. When it's zone, it's a little bit harder. You got to be a little more detailed and precise in your routes and your progressions.
But this is a third string 3-4 team that you're going to see. Is the Steelers 3? I mean, the Steelers kind of started 3-4 almost, but is there a difference than the Bears and Browns?
Yeah, they were a little similar. The Steelers actually play a true 34. I mean, you know, you'll see more of that front with this group, and still play their under front and over front and mix it up a little bit in their base packages. So, as far as the three games, this is more of a 34 look.
Doug Carson says that he's his own worst critic, and as good as he has looked, can you talk about his drive to get better? He's been in here early every day, and what you see that we don't see.
You know, that's one of his strengths, obviously, is he wants to get better every single day. And, again, in here this morning, he and Chase and the quarterbacks and starting in on Pittsburgh. And, his own motivation, he wants to be good. I mean, he wants to be one of the top quarterbacks in the National Football League at some point. He looks at the games and goes, you know, man, I could have done that better on that player. My eyes could have been here, or I could have sped my feet up on this drop. And those are all things that come with playing and with time. And again, you know, he attacks every day that way. And it's a true sign of a professional that he can handle his craft and wants to develop his craft that way. With Ben? Well, you know, the first couple of games. I mean, obviously, he's such a smart guy. He's such a. I mean, they're on a almost a different level. They're on the same page, you know, offensively with his receivers and backs. And you see him get the ball out of his hand extremely fast. And they're not getting to the quarterback. Defenses aren't getting there just because of that. And you know, he's so smart and it's fun to watch him, really, and how he manages that offense and how he kind of commands that team. And everybody rallies around him and obviously a big leader. He's a tough guy to get to because of that.
Doug, he's been in the league a long time, and you know how hard it is for a quarterback just to stay in the piece. What do you think the key to his longevity is? What's What is it?
Talking about Ben?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think because of his size, you know, he's hard to bring down. I think the way he I know the older you get, the more you have to, you know, put emphasis on your off-season programs and your diet and exercise and all that kind of stuff, and then just how mentally sharp you can be, and knowing your offense inside and out, and knowing your personnel, and moving the guys around, getting the ball out of your hand. It was much like what Peyton does at the end of his career. He was getting that ball out of his hand extremely fast, and that's tough. That's tough when you go up against, you know, a pass rush like we have, getting the ball out of your hand. It can frustrate a defense. I mean, that's what we try to pride ourselves offensively the same way, you know, with Carson. Get the ball out of your hand and just keep pressure on the defense.
At the time you named Carson starter, you referenced the Steelers and Big Ben and what they did when he was a rookie as kind of an example. What did you see back then that they did well for you?
Yeah, you know, obviously the size, the arm strength. Carson probably a little bit better athlete, you know, moving around a little bit. And then the fact that, you know, they had great defenses around Ben and a running game and special teams, and you can utilize all three of those and help your young quarterbacks that way. You've seen it, you know, time and time again with teams that have that formula can be successful early with a young quarterback.
Jalen Mills, the rookie like Jalen Mills, the way Ben keeps plays alive, what kind of challenge that presents?
Yeah, you know, Ben is, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the league at extending plays, and the one thing he does well is many things he does well, but one of them is he keeps his eyes down the field, and it's something that as defensive backs, you sometimes you get caught looking into the backfield and sort of let your coverage down, and you know, this is a week with the weapons they have on offense, you got to just stick to your guy and maintain discipline that way throughout the entire play.
When you get down to the red zone, does your philosophy change? Do you need to open up the playbook even more?
You got to maintain an advantage, sort of the unscouted look that a defense may not have seen on film. You're seeing a ton of drop eight into coverage down there. Teams are throwing the ball so much down there. You know, their run game becomes real important down there. The RPO things with the quarterbacks become important down there. Our decision making, our timing, our accuracy—we talk about this stuff every day, and particularly in the red zone, where Carson has to be on point. And then utilizing your strength, utilizing your personnel—you know, a DGB, a tall receiver, Jordan, a tall receiver. The other day, the screen inside the five, things like that. So you kind of keep things mixed up and use your personnel that way. Well, if you're counting Matt Tobin as a third tight end right now, yeah. Well, it helps you obviously in the run game. You got bigger bodies protecting the edge, but at the same time, you can still throw the football with him in the football game, and it's an advantage. I think sometimes, with Trey Selleck or with Ertz in there, it creates a little bit of a matchup, and you can kind of set the defense based on the personnel and the formation called, and that can give you an advantage as well.
When Chuck was here, he talked often during the week about how he was going to limit the shots that he took and unnecessarily on the field, and then he would go out on the field and he would expose himself just because he really couldn't help himself. I'm wondering, do you think that there's a way to rewire a quarterback who kind of has that natural inclination?
I think it's hard to rewire him. I think you just need to constantly keep talking with him and showing him, you know, going back and showing him those plays on tape and just making him aware and conscious of, hey, you know, again, as I mentioned before, I don't need the extra yard right here. It's okay to throw the ball away. It's okay to, you know, step out of bounds or slide and just keep showing him over and over and over again, because not only his longevity, but obviously for the team as well. And you want to make sure that your quarterback is, especially your starting quarterback, is the guy that's protecting himself the most.
Are you finding that? Sorry, go ahead. The fact that the three tight ends have sometimes used two offensive linemen and Bo Allen in the backfield sometimes, are you satisfied with that, or do you see yourself adding a fullback down the road?
You don't ever want to take offensive players off the field and put D linemen and offensive linemen on the field, but at the same time, you can create some bigger size, bigger bodies, you know, in the run game. Down the road as we go, if we can develop a fullback at some point, we'll do that. We're constantly looking at that position, not only around the National Football League, but on our roster. But right now, the three tight end set with Matt Tobin in there has proven beneficial. We're getting out of it what we need to, and we just got to continue to develop that package.
Are you finding that, like, Wendell Smallwood is pretty much caught up after all the time, you know, he missed during the preseason? Because it seemed like you went to him, you know, earlier in the game than you did against Cleveland.
Yeah, for sure. And he's in a good position right now, and having four running backs available, you know, on game day is also it helps Ryan, it helps Darren, it gives them a break, and they're not, you know, taking the pounding every single play. But at the same time, Wendell gives you that, him and Kenyon Barner both give you that explosiveness that you want at tailback. One thing Wendell has too, he's got great hands and the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. So it's something that we can continue to work on. Follow.
Is that something you can see going forward? Just like, you know, having that four running back rotation.
Yeah, I think so. And you're seeing two of those guys on the field at the same time. You know, two of those halfback type bodies at the same time. And the more opportunities to put athletes on the field, to create matchups, and this whole league's about matchups, the better for us offensively.
With the backs, is it more matchup? Is it if a guy gets a hot hand, you feed the hot hand?
It's a little of both, but yeah, if a guy's rolling, you know, in the run game, we want to keep feeding him. You know, unless it's a big run, then we give him a break and make the change. But yeah, it's nice to have that guy on the bench you can put in at any time.
Speaking of matchups, DGB's two catches both came on the first drive Monday night. It really wasn't even targeted like in the last 35 minutes. What do you see from him? I guess he was in the formation penalty thing had to do with them. What are you not seeing? What are you seeing?
Yeah, well, that penalty was actually on Nelson more than it was on him, because he ended up coming in motion. But those are things we can fix. You know, we actually had DGB targeted a couple times from a play call standpoint in the red zone. It's just that the play design went to the other side of the field and Carson went the other way. We just continue to keep working with him. We've increased his workload the last week, and we want to continue to do that and move him around the more comfortable he gets with our system.
So how do you feel about divulging your game plan? Obviously, it's Antonio Brown, the kind of receiver that you have to do different things than you normally would.
You got to know where he's at. I mean, you see what they've done with him, and you're moving him around the field in different spots and single them up, put them in bunch packages, stack packages. I mean, they, you know, one thing Todd does well is he moves his personnel around, and, you know, he takes advantage of that. He knows what he has, and you need to know where he's at. But they've got some explosive guys on offense that I think if you put all your attention to one guy, another one can beat you. So you got to pay attention to all those guys.
So when you're scouting Carson Wentz in college, at what point does his drive stand out to you?
Well, I think you just put on the tape and you just watch him and how he competes, and sometimes body language on film can raise an eyebrow, good or bad. And in his case, it was good body language, meaning, you know, how he completes a deep throw, or in his case, he makes a nice run and he gets up and he's excited and motivated. You know, and the guys, you can just see the guys sort of rally. And it's, you know, you don't see it all unless you watch a TV copy, obviously, of the game. But those are things that kind of stand out, and you kind of raise the eyebrow that this kid has that fight in him, has that drive in him, and that competitiveness that you want out of that quarterback position. Yeah, you saw it. I mean, I can remember even going back, and I think it was the first game of the season against Montana, and just not really knowing much of him at the time, but hearing, here's this kid out of North Dakota State, you know, playing Montana, and you watch the game, and you're kind of going, there's something special here.
How much a game like this, from where you are able to be, how much a game like this would be a benchmark in their radar?
This will be a good test for us. This will be a great opportunity for our players to go against a fine football team. You know, the Steelers have great tradition, great history. They're a good football team, and Coach Tomlin does a great job getting those guys ready to play. And I think from our standpoint is this will be a, you know, it's still early in the season. Does it make or break your season? No, it doesn't. But at the same time, it's a good benchmark for us in our success of the year. I wish I was there now. I actually spend quite a bit of time. I want to get in there, and I want them to. That's where all the dialogue begins. So I can hear what they're thinking, the quarterbacks, particularly Carson. After practice, when we're watching film, a chance to get in there and watch practice tape and things like that. And you know, as often as I can, I'm going to be in those meetings. With all the quarterbacks, yeah. It's a tight room.
I mean, but how does the hierarchy go there?
I let the quarterback coach run the meeting. If I interject, I interject. But, you know, the way it works is I send my message through Frank through the position coaches, and at the same time, if I want to interject something, I'll interject, and just making sure there's one voice in the meeting room, and they're not hearing three different answers from three different people. The message is the same.
Thanks,
guys.